We've been exploring, along with PBS and Chicago station WTTW these past weeks, how places we live signify large changes in the American way of life. Some of those changes have been for good and some for ill. Some have steered us back from choices that have turned out to be mistakes. This country is struggling right now to deal with consequences from cars and highways. Washington, D.C.'s Langston Terrace dwellings was a great idea, we learned, as were the parks, like Seattle's freeway and gasworks parks, recycling industrial sites. Tonight, the series examines 10 towns that changed America. Jeffrey Baer is host and senior editor of the series. He looks at the contrast between places like Levittown, Long Island, an early post-war suburb, to the Pearl District of Portland, Oregon, an experimental neighborhood that is moving away from reliance on automobiles.
We've always had this question of what is the right kind of way we want to live in towns and cities. And some of those proved to be not very good ideas. Levittown gobbled up acres and acres and acres of land. The only way to live there was if you had a car. There was no way to walk anywhere. And it was replicated all over the country. The latest ideas in planning, which are much more about sustainability, I do think many people hope that we'll be seeing more and more of this. Small blocks, walkable. Is your city going to build a streetcar tomorrow? No. It's a very difficult thing to do. But in little ways, we hope to see transit-oriented design replicated in places all over the country to the extent possible.
Would you say that the ideas of today are good ideas? Have all of them learned lessons from some of the past change-oriented structures and architectures and design features that we've put on the shelf, like Levittown?
You know, I have a bias. I tend to like the idea of living in a more compact, walkable area. It's very hard to get people to give up their cars. So we have this fantasy about what we want. But, you know, getting people to really get out of their cars, to really walk. I've been all over the country making this series. And everywhere I go, I try to take the streetcar or the light rail or whatever kind of transit there is from the airport to get into town. I was in Salt Lake City, and there's a wonderful streetcar connection right from downtown Salt Lake City to the airport. You can't get closer. And we were asking people, you know, where do we pick up the streetcar? Is it 3 blocks from here or 2 blocks from here? And everybody was saying, oh, we've never taken the streetcar to the airport. I don't know how to get to the airport on the streetcar. It couldn't be easier.
Part of that is the motivation for Portland. In the Pearl District, for instance, the places that, you know, were once abandoned now look like their own kind of movie set. I mean, the Powell bookstore is like this fantasy bookstore in an era of Barnes & Noble, and yet it really represents a vital, you know, revitalization of a fantastic traditional neighborhood in Portland.
It really is a tremendous example of a kind of a prototypical development for the 21st century. You know, it was just this giant railroad yard and a lot of industrial buildings, like big warehouse buildings that had fallen out of use. A lot of the railroad yard had fallen out of use. And Portland figured out a way. This took decades to happen. This kind of thing does not happen quickly. They took their lovely small street grid of downtown Portland and pushed it out into what used to be a railroad yard and an industrial warehouse district. And then the real key to it, it's not the whole key, but it's one of the real keys to it, was the streetcar. They said, you know, we're gonna run a streetcar out into this new neighborhood that we're creating, which some say was called the Pearl because it was like a jewel, like a little pearl that was found inside an ugly oyster shell. We interviewed the man who actually was sort of behind the whole streetcar effort. Why a streetcar? Why not just run buses into the neighborhood? And he said, because when you put those rails down the middle of the street, you are telling developers, we are here to stay. You know, a bus, if this doesn't work out, they can, you know, the bus can go away tomorrow. And it's also a mixed use neighborhood. So you live there, you work there, you play there, you dine there, you shop there, you walk the streets. There's a whole lot of elements that make this a kind of a prototypical neighborhood for, you know, what we're trying to do in the 21st century.
How has the aesthetic changed in the things that you looked at over time? For instance, you have a comparison of St. Augustine, Florida, which is, oh my goodness, that goes back centuries, And then, of course, Portland is a very different, you know, kind of urban planning that is going on today in other cities that you can see. Are we shifting from European models to prototypically American models as we look over the historical arc here in all of these examples?
Well, all of these towns are designed, starting with, you know, the oldest one in America, St. Augustine, all the way up to today. These are not places that sort of grew organically at a crossroads. So your point about aesthetics is a good one. What should they look like? And it's interesting because the first three in the program, which are St. Augustine, Philadelphia, and Salt Lake City, are grids, rectilinear grids. I mean, they're efficient, but are they sort of oppressive and inhuman? So you get Frederick Law Olmsted, who designed Central Park in New York, designs this suburb in the 1800s in Chicago called Riverside, Illinois. And it's all about curving streets and creating these views as you round a bend. It's supposed to be more pastoral and scenic. So there was definitely a reaction to the grid in that way to try to sort of find something a little more human. And you see these curvilinear streets replicated even down to, well, places like Levittown. But then, of course, Portland, we're back to the grid. You were asking about a European model. Many of these old, old European cities were not designed by anybody. They sort of grew organically along donkey paths. And
right.
So, you know, they're a rabbit warren of twisted streets and narrow lanes and things, and even places like Boston, for example, in this country. But this sort of American kind of – I should correct myself. Certainly the grid is not American. It goes back to the Romans, you know. But this very tight urban grid that we see in Portland, I do think is a return to that more walkable human scale.
Well, having opinions about design and deciding to go for it on their own is what changed America to begin with. And it's the premise of your program. Jeffrey Baer, thanks so much.
It was just a pleasure to be here.
Jeffrey Baer is host and senior editor of the PBS series 10 That Changed America, produced by WTTW in Chicago.